as we turn to look at this passage in Ecclesiastes 3 in some detail. Let's ask our God to seal the truths of it on our hearts. Father, we thank you for the truths of your word, for all that it says about you, about what Jesus has done for us in his mercy. And we ask that we'd know more of you, more of your mercy. As we look at this passage, just seal the truths of it on our hearts. Jesus' name. Amen. Good times and bad times, they're both a part of life. It's reflected in the sports teams we support, that sometimes they win. When we love talking about their victory, perhaps gloating with our friends that support other teams. But sometimes our teams lose, other teams win. When they're the ones loving to gloat. In fact, with some of our family and friends who enjoy their victories too much, we may choose to support whichever team is playing theirs, so that they don't get to gloat. But in those times, we don't want to face the reality of tough times for our team through the mouths of those family and friends who perhaps aren't being as supportive as they ought. But good times and bad times aren't just reflected in sports teams. They're also reflected in songs that speak of different times of life. The Beatles in Yesterday speak of trying to go back to a time when love was easy. It says, "Why she had to go, I don't know. She wouldn't say. I said something wrong. Now I long for yesterday, yesterday. Love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. It looks to a different time, a time the singer thinks is better, in the past when relationships work." And Pink Floyd also sings about time, saying, "You are young and life is long, and there is time to kill today, and then one day you find 10 years have got behind you. No one told you when to run. You missed the starting gun." He's speaking about missed opportunity, spending 10 years doing nothing, and starting to face the reality that one day death will come. Originally thinking you have all the time in the world, and then finding life has slipped by. And in Ecclesiastes, we turn to time today, but we find a very different view than what we find above. The above views are views that Ecclesiastes ultimately rejects. They're views that are under the sun, that come from living without God, that living without the hope of eternity brings of constantly looking back. Instead, Ecclesiastes gives us hope, real hope, as we look forward. The passage starts in 3 verse 1. "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven." The passage starts with the statement that there's a time for everything. Now, normally this could be open to interpretation. To interpreting it as there's even a time to do things wrong, a time to sin, a time to hurt others. And certainly, for someone who knows God, such a decision is dangerous because it's saying that what Jesus has done does not matter. That we don't want to be in the kingdom of God, which is about people seeking to copy the character of God, to show mercy and love to each other. But the verse makes clear with the continuation that it's a season for every activity under heaven. It's saying there's a God who's in charge. And while there are times for people's behavior, this is under God. While particular activities may be wrong, there can be a season for them. Even on this earth that God's created. Because God brought forth judgment to deal with this. He brought judgment on Israel through people who did so gloating over them, and then God brought forth judgment on them in this world because they gloated over Israel. And as we'll see later in the passage, God's the sovereign creator and ruler. God's crucial to how we live, we see life, because we live under him, and he'll bring judgment. And as the passage continues, it says, we're born and we die. And we know that. We know that on this earth, there's a time when we're born, when we're become a baby, and then eventually a time when we face death. And it goes on, a time to plant, a time to uproot. And farmers know this. Those around have sown already and are looking to reap. But more, there are times to kill and heal. World War II, there were real reasons to stand up against Hitler, and that meant soldiers had to take actions to kill, to stop Hitler running Europe, and potentially the world. Yet even in wars, there are many who need healing. Many soldiers that benefited from nurses and doctors that were there to heal. And such wars tore down. But afterwards, countries, cities can be built up, whether they're destroyed harbours or countries like Germany and Japan that after World War II were built up. And wars are a time to weep. But similarly as at funerals, where people mourn, also often can laugh at some of the memories that they have. And particularly at Christian ones, celebrate their lives, perhaps even dance. And there are other times, times to scatter stones, times to gather them. It's unclear precisely what this refers to. Perhaps multiple things. Perhaps on farms when clearing a field of stones. Although there are possibly also sexual connotations. And Ecclesiastes goes on. We see times to embrace and refrain from embracing. Definitely at funerals. For those with experience of life, we know that there are times to search and times to give up. whether searching for jobs or other things. There are times when we keep things and times we should throw away stuff. Many of you may know the experience that either you or someone close to you has just thrown away precisely what you needed. My brothers had to go through parents' possessions, decide what to keep, what just gets thrown, what's unnecessary. As one's died and the others move much older and out of their house. There are things that feel so necessary at one time of life that become unnecessary later. Further, there are times when we tear and when we mend, we can simply think of clothes, but this can apply to so many other things. Computer systems, getting something new and tearing out the old in the workplace, when at other times it's much better to patch up what one has. It depends on the situation and the time. Practical wisdom may be needed. And the same's true how we use our mouths, when we keep silent, when we speak. And then the list of times. Finish with verse 8. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Now we know that there are times when people love, and times when they do not get on at all. And while we live at peace, we also see wars in this world. People fighting. We see Ukraine, Gaza. But this verse does not justify people's actions in wars. Does not justify Russia's invasion of Ukraine or the Israelis' behavior in invading Gaza. It simply makes a statement of what happens in this world. It does not say whether these things should happen or merely happen because of human sin. And in fact, we know that some of these will not happen when Jesus returns. There'll be no more death or crying or mourning or pain, as Revelation tells us. There will be none of it in the new heavens and new earth that the earth is groaning for. But currently, under the sun, there's hate as well as love, war as well as peace. It's something that we as human beings face. Now's not the ideal, but we're called to live as the people of God, in this world where there is sin, and most do not live seeking to serve God. And at times, that makes it hard. But we're still called to live as the people of God, in the times that it's easy and the times that it's difficult. Ecclesiastes goes on in 1 verse 9. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Previously, we've seen in Ecclesiastes, the worker taking delight in doing their work well, but that nothing lasts forever, and that all will face death. And this theme's returned to here. Things are beautiful at the right time. We should enjoy them, whether it be food or drink, our work, our successes, our family's success. We should enjoy them at the time. But not live thinking they're everything, or that they really matter after we've died. Ecclesiastes continues in 3 verse 11. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Considering eternities, something God has set in our hearts, the want to live beyond death, to live forever, the belief that there's more beyond what we see in life under the sun. This should bring us to God, point us to seeking him and wanting to live out of relationship with him. The desire for more than we can see, the knowledge that things are clearly not perfect here, especially because of human sin, should point us to seek more, to seek the God who created us. Yet it doesn't mean we know what God's doing, that we can fathom his ways. We should remember that this is written before Jesus, before God sent his son to die for us, that we might live. Sent Jesus, who was there in creation, who created us, to die for those he created. Rejected by the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees of the time, as they couldn't fathom what God was doing. They could not adjust to having a saviour from sin rather than a saviour from the Romans. The people who were supposed to be leading the Jews to God, because they could not fathom what God was doing, crucified Jesus. And for us, we need to remember there will be times when we don't know what God's doing, when we can't fathom what's happening, why God allows certain events. But in those times, we need to hold to our God, to seek him, because he's placed eternity in our hearts. And throughout our lives, we should enjoy the fruits of his creation. Enjoy the pleasures of this world without making them gods. And that's where Ecclesiastes goes. 3 verse 12. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. We're to live in the moment, being happy in it, but serving God in it, doing good while we live, and taking satisfaction from our work, while enjoying doing it. While we like to think things are forever, we have eternity in our hearts. Even though we know about death, in fact, we express eternity forever in marriage, in the vows to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part. But also the rings. Selena Gomez got married this week. And while what was set in the ring, diamonds costing millions, took all the attention. The ring that it was set in is being referred to as an eternity band, reflecting that marriage is supposed to last. However, it's not what we will do that endures forever. 3 verse 14 reads, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it so that man will revere him. It's God who created this world with all we need to live. Light, food, drink, his provisions for us. It's God who brings us into being, along with the animals, So it's only in him that we have purpose. So we should seek him. Seek to live in relationship with him. Because ultimately, we will face judgment. We will have to give account. And not before some human court, where we might even seek to avoid testifying. In the US, taking the fifth is quite common to avoid people incriminating themselves. Before God, we will have to give account. 3 verse 15. Whatever his is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. And I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. I thought in my heart, God will bring to judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity, a time for every deed. We will face judgment. We can't plead self-incrimination. We'll be called to account as God knows all that happened and knows our hearts. That's the answer to when we'll see the wicked pulled up to face justice at the resurrection of the dead. But also, God promises to reward the righteous, those who have served him. Because it's only in this that there's any difference for us. We also die, meaning that what we chase after in this world ends up as vapor. It's temporary. It will not last. But we will come before God. We will face judgment. And we ourselves cannot meet God's standard. But we've seen Jesus come. We've seen Jesus die for us. Die for all the times we go our own way. All the times we act out of pride, out of selfishness, out of greed. All the times we forget, reject or ignore God. Jesus, as our King, dies to take our punishment as the only righteous one, so that those who accept him as King, who believe in him and live out of it, live seeking a better kingdom, can stand before God in a righteousness that's not our own, the righteousness of our King. And so, having the confidence to stand before God, in the grace and mercy that comes from Jesus. For anyone who does not know Jesus, do find out more, do ask people, but come to know him, so you can share in his righteousness, in his kingdom. But for us who do, we need to live enjoying life now, looking forward to God's kingdom. We all need to live in Jesus, reflecting that God's put eternity in our hearts. But that also, as long as we live in Jesus, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. That for him who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? That's the hope we have. The hope of eternity. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Jesus and for all that he brings. For the hope that we have, the certain hope because of him. And just help us to live out of that, to reflect the mercy and love you show us to those around us. Jesus' name. Amen.